Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Yeah.
What up?
Crack 'em if you got 'em. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the number one Dallas Cowboys Canadian podcast in the world. Rumble, you big tank.
Just giving you a triple shot there.
We got the bandwagon boys in the studs, and our host, Anth Bess, is on location out of studio here
out
today.
Of studio. But hey, we got a big episode going today. First, we're going to shout out our socials. You can follow us on all platforms, Cowboys CanFan, at Cowboys CanFan on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and of course on YouTube. If you're on YouTube and you haven't subscribed, which obviously you probably have if you're here, make sure you subscribe and hit that like button.
Not everybody subscribes.
Well, if you have, and actually they've proven that most people watching aren't. So subscribe if you're looking at this.
Subscribe if you got them.
Episode breakdown. A lot of shit happened last week.
Yep.
Obviously the biggest news we're going to go over. We got Dak is hurt. Huge QB issues in Dallas. We're going to talk about the crack 'em if you got 'em player of the game versus the Buccaneers. And then the preview of the Cowboys versus Bengals week 2.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm finally out of my depressed coma a little bit.
I was just going to ask, how was the last 2 days post? I mean, the last 2 days from the public interacting with you, your friends and your coworkers, and then online. I want to hear how was it for you, Anth?
You know what, actually? I thought there was going to be more backlash. It's almost most of my buddies kind of laid off because they realized I think I would have got more flack if Dak didn't get hurt. But I think my buddies
crack 'em if you got 'em, son.
I think a lot of my good friends that usually talk shit kind of just laid off because of the fact Dak got hurt coming off of a game where we only scored 3 points. So it wasn't too bad. But then online, I don't know how many fucking times somebody went and found a post and just wrote, "Oh, this aged well." Like,
yeah, I must have got
at least 100 of those. Oh, this aged well.
Smoke weed every day. Part of being
a Cowboys fan. I was actually kind of curious with you guys. Did you guys get any flack from anyone?
I got a lot of memes, and I went like this to them.
Crack him if you got him, son. Yeah, get him down.
I'm dwindling. My personal social media is down to just a fine stew, and so I'm really not on anything except for ours. And ours on Twitter, on our Twitter, is full of love. There's obviously a lot of hate that goes around out there, but we're not getting it yet. And that's not a good sign, Anth. We want that hate. I want that hate.
Well, the Instagram had people coming at me. The Instagram had people letting me know we lost and that we sucked. But I thought it was going to be worse. I honestly, after that game, well, you guys watched the game. We only scored 3 points out of 32 NFL teams. 31 of them scored touchdowns. Only one didn't. And it was the Cowboys. So it was a pretty rough, it was a hard football game to watch. I think watching the football game was worse than anything that could come after.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't a good one.
It was terrible.
You know what the, I found that I was listening to more talking head analysts talk about it. And they all are saying a lot of the same things. Like, it just felt like everybody was saying the same things about Dak, the Cowboys, Jerry Jones. I found looking at videos online and analyzing like our current situation in Dallas was worse than what I was getting from you know, people, coworkers, and the regular public who know us, you know?
My final thoughts.
Oh, shit.
My final thoughts on the... Oh, shit. You hit it?
What up, Kilo?
I'm hitting it right now.
Smoke weed every day.
My final thoughts on the game really are just my final thought is just like I'm a little nervous. I'm quite nervous.
Yeah, pretty that's nervous. I honestly think that's probably the best way you could describe it is nervous. I was nervous after just watching Dak, and then when we found out about his thumb injury, it really puts it into a whole new perspective of holy fuck, is the season actually done after week one? Like that's what I started going through my head. 6 to 8 weeks, I started doing the math. Like, okay, for us to keep pace, he needs to at least win. You want Cooper Rush to at least come in and split wins and losses, right, to keep us in the NFC East race. It's a little disconcerting knowing that all the other NFC East teams won. So everyone's already up on us, 1-0. And now we're going at it with Cooper Rush, who, I mean, hasn't looked very good in preseason. He didn't look very good taking over for Dak at the end of the game. Maybe they end up changing the offensive game plan with Cooper Rush in there. Maybe they finally actually start running the fucking ball. But obviously the biggest news is the Dak Prescott injury. And what was it? It first came out saying he was going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, I think.
Yep.
Yes.
But
yes.
Recently it's kind of been saying possibly 4.
Well, they didn't put him on injury reserve. And I guess a theory is that it's because he could potentially be back in 4 weeks. However, that's Jerry Jones, and that's a lot of hopefulness. And truth be told,
hopium, baby.
Truth
hopium.
Be told, I think we could all agree that if it was a rushed 4 weeks to get him back on the field, it would really need to be determined by what the record is. And if we can squeak out a win before that, then it's much less like need to rush him back. The reality from a report that we were looking at is that it is these injuries take 6 to 8 weeks. So unless Dak Prescott has a little bit of Superman healing, and it does happen with players, it's 6 to 8 weeks, and then it's going to take even longer to feel normal again. 6 to 8 weeks to get the strength to grip a football.
Well, yeah. So they were saying that a lot of the tissue was kind of intact, and it looks like it's in a good position to heal. I think the big thing for them not putting him on IR, or at least what they're saying, obviously I think everybody who's watching this has already read this or heard this, but it doesn't mean he's going to be back on the game field playing against another team in 4 weeks. It could just mean that he's taking practice.
He can still practice. If he's on IR, he can't be with the team. He can't be out there doing shit. But is this just Jerry Jones just being a salesman, like trying to make Cowboys fans not absolutely think that we're fucked for the next 6 to 8 weeks and giving us that little bit of hopium, thinking, oh man, we could be possibly back having our quarterback week 5 or week 6. Like, it's hard to judge if it's actually... Right. Like, I wouldn't put it past it. And then the one thing I was going to say about it is Drew Brees had a similar injury and he missed five games. So you can at least, there is a little bit of comparison. You can find Drew Brees, who had a similar injury, missed 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So, but that still kind of puts us at this point, I think, anywhere between 4 to 8 weeks, which is like very broad, but it's a guessing game, man. And like you said, I don't know if it was Ad or you, Alex.
Obviously,
but that's just him coming back. He's still gonna have to deal with the hand strength. Like, there's gonna be issues gripping the ball. There's gonna be issues taking snaps. There's also gonna be issues with that mental thing. Like, it's just such shitty timing. And does it go back to the fact that the offense looked so bad those first three quarters Dak was in? And I know we didn't have this down on the docket, but Should Dak and the rest of the offense at least played a few quarters in preseason?
I know. Yes, absolutely. After you see what happened there, the first thing that came to my mind was this.
Does he know any of these plays?
Give him a chance, all right? The guy knows the basic package, but he's only taken a few snaps.
I can't hear the sound effects.
It's the one from any. Does he know any of these plays?
But he
knows the basic package, but he's only taken a few snaps. That's what it felt like.
Yeah,
it did.
And coming out of that game with a loss and Dak intact, the issues would still be, in my mind, it would still be Dak. I would still be feeling nervous. He didn't throw. Now, I'm not going to put the full blame on him because he'd had a bunch of fucking five string wide receivers out there with CeeDee, who caught two passes and 11.
Two for 11.
Two for 11. So that's just dismal. But there were a number of noticeable, like, what the fuck's passes going on out there. Forcing it into coverage at least twice that we saw that was, like...
One picked off.
Yeah. Now, who's to say? Is that the route or is that blah, blah, blah? But they looked pretty piss poor for my shitty eye.
They didn't look good. I mean,
three first downs or three third down conversions out of 15 attempts. That's pretty bad. Like that's
really bad.
That's very, very, very bad.
Yeah. A lot of there's no excuse for the fact that they didn't run Zeke more. Like if your offense is, it just felt like everybody was trying to force it. So run Zeke, get TP20 in there running, get a rhythm going and stop trying to force these fucking plays just because CeeDee Lamb's your number one wide receiver. You know, Dalton Schultz and Dak had more chemistry last year than CD and Dak. So why wouldn't we have leveraged Schultzy a bit more? And obviously we can attest that to Tampa Bay had a very solid defense. They knew exactly what the Cowboys were going to do, and they were forcing them to try to make those plays. It looked like they were just panicking. It looked like they did not have a grip. Well, and obviously
none of the offense looked comfortable at any point of that game.
Yeah.
No, at least the bright side is we only had to score three touchdowns to win that one.
Right? I know you're not wrong though. Like,
is that wild? Like, that's not.
No, if you would have told me at the start of the season, or sorry, it is the start of the season, but 2 months ago that we were going to hold the Bucks to 19 points, I would have thought we won that game nine out of 10 times. Unfortunately, the 10th time we scored 3 points.
so maybe there were things on defense we saw that could have been that we could have been like harping on, but they just played very well. And it's against Tom Brady, so you're always going to get that kind of extra.
Had that not happened to Dak, I think the thing that would have possibly, and it almost overshadowed the Dak and Dallas situation, but it felt like everybody was covering it. Obviously, it was like the story of the weekend, but like the Broncos losing to Seahawks, like almost took over as like the biggest thing of football week one. And unfortunately, Dak going down and the mishaps that our front office has done for us in this offseason or didn't do for us in this offseason is like the talk, is a big talk right now, at least in our world, because that's the number one thing that we're thinking about.
Enough talk about Dak. We got to talk about the guy that's going to be coming in for Dak Prescott.
The news headlines were ripe with the question, who is Cooper Rush?
Quick question, though. Do you think another reason about Dak not going on IR and another way that they're justifying it for themselves would be the fact that because the team is in the state that they're in, they want Dak to be in a bigger leadership position with the team? Like if he was on IR, like is he?
That's a good.
He's not practicing with the team. Like, could this be another thing for him to kind of help keep some of these younger players mentally prepared for?
It's a little bit of hopium for not only fans but for players.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. If he's on IR, I mean the shitty thing is that takes up a roster spot, and there's a lot of guys on there who are extra positions that don't really need to be there. Like just for example, our wide receiver core. You know, we don't need as many as we have on the team right now. And I think that a lot of that's uncertainty. Also the injuries, of course, but that's, you know.
I think it was like you saw, it's nice to see Schultzy try to step in as the leader of the team.
Yeah.
And then I think Micah saw Schultzy post that. He's like, okay, I'm not going on.
Yeah, okay, we'll touch on that actually real quick. So what Ad's talking about is Schultzy came out with a quote basically saying instead of running away from the storm, he's going to run into it. And all I was thinking is, Schultzy, this isn't Fortnite. This is real life. But then Micah was supposed to be on Undisputed today, and he declined. And he said, our starting quarterback just got hurt. We lost the game. He said, I think it'd be inappropriate if I went on. He said he's got to be a leader of this team. You're blocked. Still no love from Schultz. Fucking Schultzy. Okay, so with Cooper Rush, guys, we've seen him start one game. We watched him play on Halloween last year against the Minnesota Vikings. Okay, the thing with Cooper Rush, he's not very known around anywhere else but to Cowboys fans. Yes. He went to college. He had 50 games in college, had 1,000 completions, 1,600 attempts, 62% completion rate, and 12,000 yards, 90 touchdowns and 55 interceptions with 139.1 QBR.
Scrap the college QBR. It's fucking not.
Is it weird?
I don't think it's the same because, like, when you have under a 2-to-1 ratio with your touchdowns and interceptions, how can you be nearly a perfect QBR?
So right.
It's,
okay.
It's got to be different than NFL.
Gotcha. So he was a 2017 undrafted free agent. He's had 11 appearances, one start. He started, like I said, week 8 versus the Vikings in 2021 when Dak was out with that calf injury after beating the New England Patriots. He completed 60% of his passes for 325 yards. He had 2 touchdowns and 1 interception and led a comeback drive that ended by throwing a touchdown to Amari Cooper in the final minute of that victory. This is the issue. We won 20-16 against the Vikings, but if you look back at the stats, out of those 325 yards that he threw and the 2 touchdowns, 130 of those yards and one of those touchdowns was to Amari Cooper, who is not there anymore. CeeDee Lamb also had a pretty good game against the Vikings that week, but he was playing second fiddle, right? He was probably getting less coverage rolled to him, and Amari Cooper still ended up having, like, if you have 130 yards and a touchdown, that's a pretty damn good game. So what are we replacing that with, right?
So he's coming in. The weapons are not as strong. Potentially maybe next week, you know, let's hope it was a lot of nerves and just shaking off some of that rust. I think the game plan will change. Let's hope, because we looked at, and this is going to help Cooper rush, but we look at what Dak did.
Do it. Just do it.
Do it.
Crack it if you got him.
That was a sloppy crack. A little sloppy crack.
Always is, baby.
It sounded as though that was already cracked. Did you pre-crack it?
It was a pre-crack.
I'm just like this.
Yeah. Just drinking fake cans. But the run game was a 5. Elliott was the only one involved in it, but he had 5+ yards and only ran for whatever. Just a bit over 10 attempts, I think.
Okay, I got to cut you guys off right now. Can we win next week with Cooper Rush?
Well, Jose Ultra Cowboy just came in and he says, Cooper Rush beats the Bengals. Cowboys need to draft a QB.
I love Ultra Cowboy. I love him. He's awesome.
He's not wrong. That's a knee-jerk statement, but in the moment it will be right.
If Cooper Rush comes in and beats the Bengals with the same team that Dak Prescott just struggled with, I will fully admit that we need to figure something out in the offseason. I already think we need to figure something out with the quarterback. We either need to draft one, a better backup. But if Cooper Rush wins against the Cincinnati Bengals, who were in the Super Bowl last year, with the same team that Dak Prescott just had 3 points with, I'm going to start questioning a lot of things.
You'll eat crow. But look, that's the thing is we're hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Would you buy a Rush jersey?
No, but I'm asking you guys, do you think Cooper Rush
can win
next week?
This is my answer to you. Do I think that he can lead the Cowboys to victory? Yes, I do. But I'm not answering will.
So you think he has a chance?
I think he has a chance. We saw him win a game against the Vikings. I didn't see that the Bengals were like, now the Bengals have crazy good weapons, but they're no better than Bucks, right?
So we're going to jump into that. We're going to get into the preview, but is Cooper Rush? Okay. Another question I'll ask you guys.
I didn't get to answer my, I think we are going to beat the Bengals solely because of how dire of a situation that we're in right now. I do believe that we're going to see a few key players step up and make some big plays. I mean, obviously, Burrow's had 5 turnovers, which we'll get into last week, and they were still close to winning. But it's against, like, I don't know. It could have been a lot more the way that Burrow's was playing. It's going to be tough, but I think that I feel like they're going to scale it back. Cooper Rush isn't going to try to force the plays like Dak. I think CD's actually going to turn up on this game, and we're going to see a little bit of a connection with CD and, and Cooper, and I think Zeke's gonna get two tutties.
The issue with this is he played quite a bit of snaps against the Bucs, and he looked just as shitty, if not worse, than Dak. You know, like I would have felt a little bit better about our situation going in. I'm gonna say it right now. I do not think we're gonna beat the Bengals. I don't think we're going to beat them. The Bengals are coming off of a game that they should have won against the Steelers. They kind of embarrassed themselves a little bit. But I don't think Cooper Rush has the weapons around him. Just like I said, I don't think Dak Prescott has the weapons around him to beat a top 10 team in the NFL right now. I hope, and I really, really hope, and I hope I'm wrong, and I really would love to be wrong. I just don't think the Cowboys and Cooper Rush can beat the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are saying, so in the chat, King Trill saying, I'm a big fan of Dak, but we need to step up in these big games. Ultra Cowboy saying, we're blessed to have Micah, you bet. Cody Howler saying, Dak was making throws to receivers who didn't have the skill set to make the catches, which we talked about. Kilo drops a nice big resiliency in there. I think he's thinking we're going to have a Schultzy step up, and everybody agrees that if we run the ball, if we have more running attempts in this game, we have a very good shot at least contending and possibly winning with Cooper Rush.
Okay, so we're going to get into the keys to win, but our next games up to the bye weeks. So this is our games coming up to the bye. I'm going to name the game. You tell me if you think we can win or lose this game with Cooper Rush. Okay. We'll just fire it out real quick. I already said the Bengals. You both kind of, AJ, you kind of beat around the bush a little bit.
I didn't. I said we're winning.
Okay, so AJ's loss, Ad's win. Okay, Giants. Giants.
Win. I think win.
Has to be a win. Yeah, it just win. Has to be a win.
Yeah, three of us.
Commanders.
Loss.
I think that one's a win.
Week four against the Commanders, it has to be a win. So this is the thing. If we lost to the Bengals, I don't want to say when we lose to the Bengals, but if we lose to the Bengals in week two, we have to win at Giants and then versus the Commanders in week three and four. Then week five, it gets a little bit tough. We're down in LA against the Rams.
When Dak comes back.
I would love for that. That'd be awesome if he did.
Dak comes back. Well, I guess that's a potential Dak comeback game, but I don't want to see it. I want to see him come back when it's health.
Listen, you just said it. You said it at the beginning. Drew Bledsoe had the same issue. Drew Brees. I was going to say Bledsoe. I thought, for whatever reason, I thought Bledsoe. But I imagine if this is a Bledsoe-Brady situation. Bledsoe goes out. Brady comes in. They ride Brady to the end.
Brady?
Yeah, but the difference is Cooper Rush has been in the league since 2017.
I know.
And he's had his chances, but I do see what you're saying. But no matter what, even if Cooper Rush goes undefeated till Dak's back, guaranteed he's going back to the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys didn't say week five at Rams. Give me it. Win or loss?
Loss.
Anth?
AJ?
I said loss. Loss.
Oh, you said loss? Okay. So week six at Eagles. This is the game I'd like to see.
You went
loss,
Anth, with Rams? Sorry?
Yeah. I think it's a loss. I think it's a loss. And then week six, we're at the Eagles. This would be the game, just for like poetic justice, I would like to see Dak come back for.
Oh, so you're writing this like a movie.
Like
a Netflix movie.
And then I'm gonna say win with Cooper Rush or Dak Prescott. We beat the Eagles in Philly.
I say we beat the Eagles as well. With or without Dak Prescott.
I think this one's a loss. But AJ's
being a realist. Okay,
So Jose Ultra Cowboys making some good points. 49ers went to the NFC Championship after starting 3-5. Eagles went to the playoffs after starting 3-6.
Like Ultra Cowboys being positive today.
Crack him if you got him. Gallup returns. Week five, James Washington returns. So now we're starting.
That's huge.
We're getting more offensive weapons in.
Week six, Dak Prescott's back.
Okay, well, hang on. I'm changing my week six to a win.
But then he started it off.
And that's because the receivers are back.
I missed the other two. So Ultra's laying a couple other things here. He said before we started talking about the win loss, Cooper at least throws the ball deep. We have weapons. Mitch Trubisky beat the Bengals, which is, he's saying we could beat the Bengals.
True.
And Dak's been terrible in the last nine games, so he had to throw the Dak. Okay. Been bad, so we all know that. And then Cody Hoover also says our defense can win those divisional games. So, yes, we have the defensive chops to be very competitive if we can stay run heavy, and then we get Cooper Rush comfortable in the pocket or comfortable on the field or comfortable in a fucking helmet. we have a shot.
We got two more fucking games. Let's get through this, and then we can hit up more.
Case week
live.
7 versus the Lions.
I'm going to start out.
That's a tricky one because I like the Lions this year. I do. They should have beat the Eagles. They have a few, but I think by week 7, the Lions are going to be a lot better team than a lot of people think they are right now. I think I still, just because I want the season to.
Mine's a loss on the Lions.
I'm going to win.
And final
against the Bears and Justin Fields. That's another game.
That's a win. That's a win.
Has to be a win. Like we had talked about, though, we have the defense to possibly help carry Cooper Rush. He just has to do enough to beat the Giants and the Commanders. Those are two games that even if we lost every other single game, Cooper Rush has to get the team. He has to win those two fucking games. Without a doubt, those two divisional games, we have to win.
We're all the same. We're all the Dallas D will beat the Lions, says Ultra. We're all the same score, but just different win losses.
We all think the Cowboys by week 9 are going to be 5-3.
Oh, I do not think that.
I don't either.
Hey, guess what? You do think that, son. You do think that.
You know what's funny? I'd be happy if somehow we're 3-5.
Yes. I'm seeing the world through Jerry-colored glasses right now, guys.
The hopium is strong with you.
You know what?
This is the last thing we're going to say about...
Boots on the ground's in the house. He's driving. What's up, Boots? Be careful. Boots? Keep your eyes on the road. Crack them if you got them.
Keep your eyes on the road. Don't crash. Last thing we're going to say about this Bucks-Cowboys game. We're going to do this thing every episode after a game. We're going to do the crack and player of the game. So we had three. We kind of each picked a guy. We had three people that stood out to us. There was an honorable mention, but I'll just go through these three names. Safety Donovan Wilson. He had... 4 tackles, 1 assist, and 1 interception. We had punter Brian Anger, who had 5 punts with a 51-yard average, 2 inside the 20, which is that's really good stat line for a punter. And then, of course, the linebacker, Micah Parsons, 4 tackles, 1 assist, and 2 sacks. And those were our three, kind of the three we came up with, crack and player of the game. But who do you pick out of those guys? Out of those three, who is your crack and player of the game?
I mean, he's too sexy not to pick in game and then in physical form. That's Micah Parsons, baby.
The linebacker, aka 11 from heaven, baby.
You're going linebacker? Ooh, I thought AJ would you say he's too sexy to not pick. You were going to go Brian Anger. Without a doubt, I go Micah Parsons.
Anger, mark my words, is going to get one this year.
So mark that down for week 1 crack and player of the game, Micah Parsons. We're going to do a tally for the end of the year.
We'll have them posted. We'll have a nice little image of the Cowboys Can Fan crack and player of the week on, just like they do the Pepsi player of the week. We'll have a nice image on the Instagram, and we'll have every time we.
Congrats, Micah. You deserved it
every time, and I'll make a graphic so that when we do the Kraken player of the week, we'll put them up and we'll have a chart of people. And then if whoever wins the most Kraken players of the week, we'll send them a beer.
That'd be funny. I would like that. That'd be hilarious. Okay, moving on. We are jumping into week 2. Let's get week 1 out of our brains. That shit was forgettable. None of us care about it anymore. Week 2, we got the Super Bowl runner-ups, the Cincinnati Bengals, coming off of a overtime loss against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm just going to run some stats from the Bengals from last week, just their player stats, and tell me after what jumps out to you. Joe Burrow, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 4 interceptions. Joe Mixon, 27 carries, 82 yards with only a 3.0 average. And then the big dog that you got to worry about here, Ja'Marr Chase, 10 receptions, 129 yards, 1 touchdown for a 12.9 average. So those are their lead guys from week 1. They do have a good triplets there.
I say this, I think we are getting Burrows at a nice time of year. Maybe it was just that one week, but he's still showing signs of making some poor decision making. And I can say that coming from a Cowboys fan's point of view after week one. Okay. but no, just that the, and Mixon, that's kind of been his game. He's usually like getting those 20 plus touches, but I think he's had chunks of seasons where he's had like very, very, you know, huge games, but he also falls into those kind of busts scenarios. Although, you know, if they can consistently do that, 20 plus rushes and 80 yards, I mean, no one's going to complain. It's not necessarily,
they're sticking to their game plan. Obviously. Yeah,
exactly. It's a little concerning. It's good all around. It's good news that they have those two stats. But we know
what do we got to do to get Zeke 27 carries?
I know.
Just fucking, I don't know. Someone needs to just make Kellen Moore watch game film. Kellen Moore walks around popping peanuts in his mouth and goes, I don't look at the past. Never. Always.
The
forward.
Thing that drives me nuts is Joe Burrow still threw the ball 53 fucking times. Okay. Yes, it was overtime. So they basically had another quarter of stats, but Joe Burrow's threw 53 times and Joe Mixon still somehow had 27 carries. Like, I'd be happy. I want at least, well, I want they, 20
how
carries.
How many times they punt? Did they punt 5 times?
Yeah, probably not. They were actually probably converting. They were probably actually converting third downs. Another interesting stat looking at this, the Bengals here, is Joe Burrow's ran it 6 times for 47 yards. So wow. he has a little bit of pep in his step in that regard.
Well,
he's a good quarterback. Let's be honest, right? The interceptions are something that we can hopefully continue this week, but I don't know that it's going to be something that is with him throughout his career.
Okay, I'm going to ask you guys.
Well, hang on. I think, and Cody Hoover in the chat's saying Diggs is going to make his season interception debut against Burrows. I think that if we can't get Diggs intercepting Burrows, that'll be my biggest disappointment on this next game, minus us losing. Diggs has to get
see Turpin figure it out. Okay,
well, sorry, that's what they're also chatting in the chat about Turpin.
So is that your biggest thing then? I was going to ask. I want to hear from you guys the matchup that you think we need to win for us to have a chance in this game. So, Ad, are you saying Trevon Diggs versus Joe Burrows and Ja'Marr Chase is up there for the biggest matchup that we have to win to have a successful game against these guys?
No. I think the biggest matchup for us to win the game is to get Micah into fucking Macaulay Culkin's face and sack the shit out of him.
You know what's interesting about Micah this week? He's probably going to be going up a lot against ex-Cowboy Lael Collins, who we lost in free agency. And Lael Collins, I honestly believe he's a pretty good right tackle, but I hope Micah embarrasses him.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's going to be the same thing that was working for us on defense is just continual pressure on that. In week one is continual pressure on the quarterback, get Micah in to eat. And also D-Law showed us a little bit of that lockdown left end position.
Great run defender.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Micah was last week, a lot of the time he's had a lot of success coming off the left end position or the left side, but both his sacks on Brady, he was lined up at right defensive end and playing against the left tackle, who's actually the second sack was against the backup, but his first sack was against the starter. So it's going to be interesting to see where they do put Micah Parsons. I believe he's going to be lined up against Lael Collins because he's went against Lael. He probably knows his tendencies. He knows his weaknesses. He knows how to exploit those.
Well, that's the thing. Did you say that to all of them? Micah can line up on either side and he's still just as dangerous. Cody Hoover says Home Alone versus the Lion King. That's the matchup that I'm talking about.
And according, that's good.
And Ultra Cowboys saying, according to PFF, Lael was trash last week. So
he was. He had a couple holding calls.
So great. Let's find those holes and let's fucking blast through them.
Can we keep Ja'Marr Chase under 100 yards? Do you think?
No. We struggle. We're struggling with the run. Our defense is still struggling with the run, at least from last game. So. I think he's going to eat.
Do you mean Joe Mixon or Ja'Marr Chase?
Joe Mixon's going to eat. And I think we're going to shut down Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay.
So our pass game's going to, so you got our DBs, you have Jayron Kearse is going to be out this game, which sucks. So you're going to have one of our big playmakers on the line, the run game. So you think the run game's going to still do its thing, but you believe we stop Jamar Chase under 100?
I think Jamar Chase is going to get stopped under 100. And I think what's going to happen or what I'm hoping to happen, Mike is going to put a lot of pressure on Burrows. He's going to make some sloppy decisions. Jamar Chase isn't going to break it off, but we're going to have a hard time against Mixon.
You know what I try to do? I try to keep that pressure.
But I'm not an analyst.
I keep that pressure with the linebackers and the and maybe focus on that run game to make sure that we shut that down, and then just try to play really tight on those other receivers and let Chase and, if it's going to be Diggs, go one-on-one, because I'll take 150 Chase yards and a touchdown if that means that we can kind of stifle everything else. And then maybe you just give up a big play here or two, with the potential, though, if he's going to be airing the ball out, that Diggs can make the play on that ball. So it's not always bad to, like, kind of give him a little bit of something. That's how Diggs has made his career thus far.
Okay, so we have five storylines going into the Bengals and Cowboys game here on NFL.com, written by Leighton Praler. I'm pretty sure we've read his shit before, but it kind of touches into what we were talking about, including the picking up of former Cowboys tackle Lael Collins. The Bengals last week allowed 7 sacks against the Steelers. Micah Parsons racked up 2 sacks on his own against the Bucks last week. Plus, the Cowboys defense collectively had 6 tackle for losses in that game. Should the rest of the Dallas young front 7 get pressure early, it could cause further problems for Cincinnati. So we kind of touched on that. The main thing to winning any NFL game is to get pressure. Our defense was getting pressure on Brady last week, and it did help our defense get them off the field and hold the Bucks to 3 points. If we have a chance to beat the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, we're definitely going to have a great defensive showing from our front 7.
It's like Dallas is going for
it. And if the sacks weren't an issue enough for Burrow, he had 5 turnovers. He was responsible for throwing 4 picks, and then he actually lost a fumble. Do I think he's going to do that again this week? Probably not. He only had 14 interceptions all of last season. So the chances of him even having a multi-interception game again is, according to his stats from last year, is pretty much slim to none. But we did turn over Brady last week with Donovan Wilson's 1 pick. It's pretty much playing into the narrative that we need our defense to step up. Diggs had a good game last week. He had a couple nice pass breakups. Sure, he got beat by Evans on that one touchdown, but that was a very athletic touchdown. He did get tried a couple times, and he got pass breakups. I think Diggs is going to turn into a very good cornerback, and his thing isn't going to just be interceptions, but we do need interceptions.
We do need them.
Yeah, we do need those.
Hey, I will never complain. Picks. I will never complain about a Diggs INT.
Oh, shit, there's no audio there again.
Interceptions and then throws the ball to the other team.
I'm also going to say, anyone that's in the chat right now, if you haven't smashed that thumbs up, smash it, do whatever you can to help grow this channel. We appreciate it. If you hit that thumbs up, other people that are like-minded Cowboys fans will be in here and we can chat with them. So it would really help us out. We appreciate it.
He's so hot right now.
So then going on here, I lost my storyline here.
Evan McPherson.
Yeah, I'm going to just skip that one. Fuck him. I don't give a fuck about the Bengals kicker.
No.
Although it's going with special teams, they are without long snapper Clark Harris, which that can provide a huge spark with punts. We're going to have a chance possibly to block a punt or block a point after or a field goal.
Sure.
This is a good stat that I like. I don't know how you guys feel about these stats where they show win-loss.
Historically,
because it doesn't really matter, but it's interesting to always see. The Cowboys are 9-4 against the Bengals in the series. history with Dallas taking the last four matchups dating back to 2008. So the Cowboys have not lost to the Bengals since 2008.
Yeah, for me, I these stats, you're right. Like, I want to know maybe the last two games or as far back as it is relevant with the core of the team. Once the team's turned over on either side, it's really moot. But
last time we played them was in 2020 when the Cowboys won 30-7 in Cincinnati, but the Bengals were without rookie Joe Burrow due an ACL. And it was actually funny because Andy Dalton was the one that beat his former team. But unless you played them last year, it doesn't fucking matter, to be honest.
No, it doesn't. We're going to find out.
And then we got some Cowboys stuff here. After it was originally thought that Dak Prescott would miss 6 to 8 weeks with his thumb injury against the Bucs last week, owner GM Jerry Jones said on 105.3 The Fan that Prescott would not go to injured reserve. I'm going to skip over this because we've already talked about that. The number one question for the Cowboys for the next couple of weeks following Prescott's thumb injury becomes how this offense will function with backup Cooper Rush. We all kind of split. Ad thinks we're going to beat these motherfucking Bengals. AJ and I think we're probably going to lose.
Well, we haven't lost to the Bengals since 2008, so.
So you're going with the historical. Or would you bet on them?
Yeah.
How
much should I bet?
Well, actually, this is the funny thing. I will definitely be betting on the Cowboys because I will be in Las Vegas for this game.
Hey-o. Yeah.
So
I'll go in on it with you. So whatever you bet, whatever you're gonna bet, double it, and I'll send you some cash.
Is that this weekend, Anth? You're gone?
I'm gone. I leave tomorrow.
That's right.
I leave tomorrow.
So that's a big announcement too. Like we're solo in the studio for this game. You're gonna be keen. You're gonna be in the depths of Las Vegas, Sin City, looking for some trouble. Or looking for some TV to watch the game, and you're going to be coming in on us remote.
So, question though,
should we?
How are we
going to
work?
Is that what you're saying?
How are we going to work that out?
We'll figure it out.
We're not going to talk behind baseball in front of our.
Baseball.
Hey, well, I think it's going to be you're going to have an audio device, and you're gonna be drunk and strolling the streets and just look staring at your phone and talking to us while we stream the game.
You just need to.
You're like, Anth, why aren't you wearing shoes?
I lost him. I lost him in the waterfall.
Honestly, you need your AirPods. You need your phone, and you need your little tripod device so you can have your phone on you. And then I'll mute you when you're too loud or not paying attention, and I'll unmute you when you aren't.
And
CeeDee Lamb came into 2022 as the clear-cut number one receiver. But now with Cooper in Cleveland, Amari Cooper in Cleveland, and Michael Gallup still working back from an ACL surgery, coming off his first Pro Bowl season and first 1,000-yard season, expectations were understandably high. However, the former first-round pick mustered just 2 catches for 29 yards on 11 targets. With mostly unproven guys around, the Bengals are sure to zero in on Lamb, who the Cowboys will be counting on to put week one behind him to get back on track. So that brings my question to you guys. Obviously, we were super disappointed in CeeDee Lamb's performance week one. How much can you put on him for that performance, and how much can you put on Dak for Dak's performance?
Well, first of all, okay, they both are to blame equally because CD's out. CD's 2 for 11 is just not all of those could be bad throws. But then there was also Dak, who I'm sure he knows he made some pretty bad poor. Maybe it was due to the lack of options, but we know that he made some poor passes there too. So they both need to fucking
there's the one
CD played like shit.
CD
was not
like
good.
Shit. Here's the thing. There's the one play where it looked as though Dak threw behind him, but Dak had to wait. CD wasn't in the spot where he should have been, so Dak actually had to wait to throw it, and that's where the timing was just all off. It's just they were just both out of sync. Yeah. I think there was a couple clear catches that CD should have clutched in, no matter how off or bad. It's like it went right through your fucking hands. It just shouldn't have happened.
Can happen.
Can happen.
Does he come back? Does he come back week two with little fire in his belly?
I think so.
What you got to do is just find a way to solve it. You need to get the other receivers. And actually, Noah Brown had a pretty decent game. I think he had like six receptions or something for 60, 70, 80 yards. Probably the lower half of that. But still, you know, he's someone that you can say, okay, how can we utilize him? Get CeeDee Lamb open more. Don't forget about Dalton Schultz, who you can add in as that receiver. Add in on that receiver kind of core. Basically, he can fit in nicely. And if you're using him at all, Tony Pollard can also sit in there in some sort of packages. So there's still
The thing with Tony Pollard though is they're just going to use him to block in really key moments and then get blown over and get Dak sacked.
Yeah, no. This is the whole
you big tank.
The whole thing can be boiled down to again. And I have a shitty eye for it, but I don't think people are going to argue with me. Like Kellen Moore is just baffles me with his play, with how he calls a game. He baffles me with how he uses players, and where's the adjustment, right? Sometimes you write out a plan and it doesn't work. Well, then now what? Like you have to have kind of the ability to improvise, adapt and evolve. And if that means simplifying something, so you're literally just going for 5 to 12 yards, but you know, running
like when Zeke touched the ball and he ran for 5.2 every time, why not keep giving him the ball? Like, why are we trying to outsmart ourselves? It's like, there was issues with the Cowboys offensive coordination in 2016, but at least they would line up and you knew they were running the ball and everybody else knew they were running it and they would still get 5 yards. You know, why not do that until they stop you?
If you run the ball for an average of 4 plus yards, I'll give you, and 20 plus times a game, that's going to force the defense to always be focused on that run game. And that's going to open up the pass game. If you're showing that, hey, we're not really invested in the run game, we're only going to run 6 times this half. I mean, okay, that makes the defense pretty, it makes it very clear. And let's just put on the icing on top of the cake again, going back to the beginning of this whole rant, was, okay, you can do that when you have the weapons. We're not sitting there right now with those types of weapons or those people who warrant that type of attention, right, from the Bengals. So they'll just keep stuffing the run game if that's the case. And that's fine as long as you can figure out a way to pass around it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a good segue with the run, talking about the run game, because one of the biggest storylines heading into the season was how rookie Tyler Smith was about to play his first career start in the NFL, and he was in place for an all-pro future Hall of Famer, Tyron Smith. The offensive line as a whole was kind of a big question mark in the offseason. Like, we were kind of worried going into this week. And I think Tyler Smith, personally, I thought he played pretty well at left guard in training camp, but then he was shifted over to tackle, and he held his own the whole game.
Yeah, one of the bigger question marks coming into the season was how's he gonna line up? How's our first round draft pick gonna line up, and how's he gonna fare? And he was probably the least thing to worry about.
There was a couple. He had a couple penalties, which is shitty. But the stage you're on, Sunday Night Football, Week 1, and to come out and do what he did against arguably one of the better defensive ends in the NFL, Barrett. I was very happy with how he played, and crack me if you got him. I got a question. When Jason Peters is ready to go, there's been a little controversy going on. They said that he could play right tackle. He's Jason Peters, the Eagle, the longtime Eagle legend that we just signed, is naturally a left tackle, has always played left tackle, but the Jones family came out saying he could also play right tackle. So I don't know if they're trying to scare Terrence Steele and make him feel worried that he's in a competition, or do they play him at left tackle and move Tyler Smith back to left guard? Like, there's a lot of shit that's still unanswered on this offensive line.
I believe that there's an answer to help with that predicament, because Peters is going to come in. Is it going to be next week? Is it going to be 2 weeks? Who knows? But he's going to eat up a little bit, but not too much of that.
Is it just because they're trying to get him like familiar, because he's coming out of retirement?
No,
halfway through a sentence.
Sorry.
That's okay. Go back to what Ann said.
I thought we were allowed cutting each other off.
Well, I mean, go ahead. I'll start again after.
I want to know what everyone was saying.
I thought you were finished. So go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
Okay. Well, we'll watch the clip back and see how fit. No. So I think there is an answer to the issues that were brought up about the offensive line. And Peters is going to be back. Is it next week? Is it in 2 weeks? We don't know. But he's going to have to sign a contract. There's $11 million left in the cap because right now he's just on a practice squad contract. So let's say he eats up $3 million. All right. Now we still have a little bit of money to play with. There are two guards, one in particular who I think we could actually sign, who could come in and help resolve some of that. One of them is Eric Flowers.
Guards or tackles?
Guard. This is a guard. But here's the reason, though.
Okay.
If you bring in a guard, Eric Flowers or Quentin Spain is the one who I would look at. I believe he played with Cincinnati last year, perhaps, but he played on another team. Anyways, he's a pretty good ranked on the PFF, guard rankings, however they do that. That's the only way.
Their spectrum.
Yeah, it's the only way that I know how to gauge a guard.
A fucking guard.
Yeah.
Without watching all their tape.
But he would be roughly, say, $3 million, maybe even cheaper than that. So you bring in him as well. He's a free agent. Now you have, sure, he's a fucking Band-Aid, but who cares? We are bleeding right now. And that's going to help Tyler. That's going to relieve a lot of pressure. This guy knows how to play football. He can hop in either as a swing guard. I don't know if they have that. Or even potentially play. There was also an injury on guard, wasn't there, Ant, this week? I don't know if it's a stick.
Connor McGovern. Connor McGovern got banged up.
So he might be back, but still, imagine that. Now we have two of these kind of veterans coming in, and they're just all they're expected to do is swing. They may start, but that I don't know. I think that would help answer a lot of questions, and we have the cap space to do it because we're not going to go out and sign OBJ we're not going to go out and get anyone with the money that's left, and there still would be enough money to like $5 million or something left in the cap, and that's the game that we're playing here right now.
Well, offensive linemen, you can never have too many, and you can never have too many healthy offensive linemen. And we've had the injury bug so far with offensive linemen, kind of like 2020. And it's a very, very slippery slope. Like, it can get away from you really quick. Because right now, we got Tyler Smith kicking out to left tackle, and we have Matt Farniak, who's going to be starting at left guard. Well, what happens if Matt Farniak goes down? Then who, like, I don't even know who the next guy up is at that point.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that's kind of being overlooked because it's, again, it's not sexy, but like, where does a quarterback start? It's giving him an extra half second to throw a ball or giving him some more time in the pocket to read the play or players to get open.
Or have the confidence.
Or the confidence, yeah. If he's fucking ducking down and thinking he has to run every time, yeah. So I think that's a place that still should be looked at. Peters is not the answer. He's coming in as a fucking panic, not panic like, oh my God, we need to make a decision, but like, oh shit, we didn't know we were going to have to do this soon. Like, we knew we were going to have to do it this sometime. And so I don't know. I think that would help. And that's going, like, Noah Brown still showed up on the field. Is there some potential there for if we can get that depth up and feel more confident with the offensive line, is the potential still there to put some, 21 points on the board is what we fucking need.
More than three.
yeah, more than
more, three. More than right. three.
Which shouldn't be a fucking tall order to go
no.
for.
No, there's no excuse for any. There's no, in today's NFL with the passing and how much it goes towards the offensive game plan, like rules and reffing, there's no excuse for scoring only 3 points. I don't give a fuck who your quarterback is. Like, there was no excuse for Dak Prescott. Crack him if you got him. There was no excuse for Dak Prescott only getting 3 points. So the last point we'll touch on here is, obviously, we know Jayron Kearse got hurt last week. He has an knee injury. He led our team last year with 101 tackles and was expected to have a big role in the defense this year. He was one of our fan favorites going into the season. So now we're going to have to turn to undrafted free agent Marquez Bell, who had a strong training camp, or we're going to have to go with Israel Mukuamu. So again, you never want to not have one of your starters, but who knows, maybe one of these guys can come in and shine.
Yeah, I think we liked Mukuamu had like was
we
it
liked
two,
both honestly
two interceptions out there. So I'm less concerned about it. Although I think not having Kearse on the field is going to be a hit.
Oh, yeah. Big time! Yeah. It's He was an unsung hero last year. You didn't hear much about him coming in when he got signed, and then he ended up just being kind of that glue that held everyone together. He was roughing it up in the middle of the field, and Dallas had kind of hadn't had a player like that in a lot of years. So I was kind of bummed out to see Jayron Kearse get hurt prior to the season and then reactivating that injury in week one.
Not good.
So what we're going to do here real quick, we're going to hammer these out, guys. We're going to do score predictions for the game. We're going to hammer these out, okay, and then we each need a bold prediction.
Okay.
I don't give a F if it's a bright shirt or dark shirt, but we need someone to give us their score.
You're saying bright shirt as Alec is wearing a These Kids Wear Crown vintage?
I thought that was. I wasn't sure if that was. Safety.
I asked him if we were going to roll in with Jumpstart as a song, as our intro song.
I don't know who owns it. So.
Okay.
Oh, fair. Fair.
Fair enough. Score. Okay. AJ, you go.
Score? Oh, fuck.
The deflection so Ad can think of his answer.
I mean, here's
35-27.
Wow. For who?
Cowboys.
Wow. So we're going to go from scoring 3 points to scoring five touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, I said CD's going to get a tutty and Zeke's getting two tutties. So that's Schultz's good for a tutty.
So there's 28. Now you're just fucking throwing the next dart to someone else.
Hey, so Ad saying 35-27 Cowboys. AJ?
21-7 Bengals.
21-7. So both of you guys right now, no field goals. We're just saying just purely touchdowns. I always throw in at least one or two field goals. I'm going to say the Cowboys lose. Oh, let's see.
Field goals.
I'm
going
to say the Cowboys lose 34-10.
Oh, wow. Fuck you, dude.
I honestly, I'm scared that the Bengals are going to come off of their overtime loss and we might just be that shitty punching bag. Do I think our defense is good enough to hold them to less than 34 points?
We held the Bucks.
My issue is I think our offense is even going to be worse this game. So our defense is going to play a big majority of the game. I like said earlier in the cast, I hope I'm fucking wrong. I hope we win this game. I would love for us to win this game. I just don't think it's going to happen.
The only reason I like your scoring predictions because you usually are wrong, so it means it's gonna be good for us.
I always tell anyone that ever asks me to bet on football, I say just listen to what I bet on and then do the exact opposite and you'll make lots of money, because I'm terrible at betting on football. Yes,
so bet on the Bengals this weekend.
The inverse. I got
but the actual ish the actual thing is I'm going to bet on the Cowboys, so
I know, which is not It's not great.
No, but you can't have people looking at your bank account and seeing you went the other way.
Right? Exactly. What if that gets dug up? Okay, bold prediction. Let's get a bold prediction.
You start with your bold first since you went last on your score.
Bold prediction, Cooper Rush throws for...
Well, if you only got 10
touchdowns.
What? You can't go 34 and 10 for your prediction. Score.
Hey, are you JC... Hey, are you JC Allen over there? I can do whatever the hell I want in a bold prediction.
Damn! My bold prediction, geez. I mean, is it bold to say that Zeke gets 100 yards and a touchdown?
That right now, yes.
Can I do that?
I said, yeah, I said 150, and that was fucking like,
I'm not
running for the century marks bold right now.
I'm not joking. Like, it just looking at his last few games, right? 100 yards, over 100 yards, so we can't just get a honey. And a touchdown.
Yeah, that's bold. Honestly, yeah. It is.
Okay.
Hey, Cowboys Can fan, what do you got over there?
Micah Parsons, 2 sacks.
Ooh.
Trevon Diggs, 2 ints.
Ooh, wow. that's probably the boldest. Well, I said Cooper Rush, 5 touchdowns. But that's pretty bold.
Actually, Cooper Rush does get 5 touchdowns with my
2 ints for Diggs?
2 ints, 2 sackies.
Ad's going the multi-dimensional bold prediction.
Hey, guys, if all of our bold predictions work out, we are definitely going to win this game.
Yeah. I would hope so. Okay, well, I think do you want to touch on our fantasy, the Can Fantasy Football League real quick?
Sure.
Do you have anything up?
Yeah, I got right here. Let me just read out. So first
give a little
of all,
backstory. So we're running a Cowboys Can Fan Fantasy League. We have myself running a team, and then the Bandwagon Boys are managing a team, and then we have 10 subscribers that are also in the league.
That's right. And so it's a 12 team half point PPR with a wide receiver, running back, tight end, flex, one kicker, one defense, make it easy, and then a handful of bench players. But the most points last week was Kilo, aka Super User, 140.3. Let's give it up for Kilo the man.
Attaboy Kilo. Smoke, I like that Kilo day. Got just shaded by the algorithm saying he's going to go 1-13.
And 1-13. Then
Kilo just came out swinging.
I guess he's got two more wins. Or was it no more wins?
No, it's 1-13. That's his only win.
But here,
he's popped out.
Led by Patty Mahomes, 41 points. Stephon Diggs, 28 points. And CEH. Of with 21 points,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I can't say that one. But then, so congrats to Kilo, you kicked some butt. But we played, funny enough, in the first week. It was all randomized. At first, I thought the Bandwagon Boys were gonna win when we got into studio, and then it turned out that the Can Fan himself, Anthony Tony Bessie.
But it wasn't a shellacking. It wasn't a shellacking.
It wasn't a shellacking. It was like 126 to 135. Or here's a score.
Daquan knew what he had to do.
Let me read the breakdown.
Dude, I almost had you.
Cowboys Can Fan Ant beat Bandwagon Boys 132 to 127, led by Saquon Barkley, who recorded the third highest score by a player this week with 35.4 points. So he's back. The boy is back, apparently. A late push in primetime on Sunday Night Football. 31% of their final score wasn't in the cards for the Bandwagon Boys. So we had a lot of points on the line and we didn't come through. And each side met their expectations, but Cowboys Can Fan Ant scored 22% more points than projected. So from 108, he scored 132. And then Cowboys Can Fan Ant starts the season in third place. Bandwagon Boys in seventh. First, it's the first week, so who knows?
Not going to say it that it was my best win, but it was definitely the most satisfying.
And next week, it's the Cowboys Can Fan Ants take on the Gritty Little Liars, who went 1-0 and had 133 points. So it should be a good game between you guys.
It'll be a tight game.
And while the Bandwagon Boys face UK Steelers. That's
We're taking him down.
And we scored 126, 127, and he scored 123. So both close
games. Oh, good game.
Yeah.
Yep, good game. All right, gentlemen.
Final thoughts, guys. I'm going to be in Vegas starting. I'm heading to the States tomorrow.
Right.
Let's get some final thoughts.
Final thoughts is that the show's going to have to go on, and the Bandwagon Boys finally get time to shine without Anth Bess and the Studes, you know?
Probably good that I'm not going to be in there. Like, it's probably good that I'm going to be down there, and I don't know. I'm nervous. AJ basically summed up my mood for this season with his first sentence. He's nervous. I'm super nervous for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun in the studio here, but we're definitely going
to
miss.
I said this in our chat. If Geno Smith can take the Seattle Seahawks to a win versus Russell Wilson and the Broncos, Coop, AKA Rush Hour, can fucking take us to the promised land for the Bengals beatdown.
All right, for the Bandwagon Boys over there. Oh, is there a clip going?
No, that was just his soundbite.
For the Bandwagon Boys over there in the studio and me, we out.
Peace.